Amen. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Let's take our Bibles, if you will, please, to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 is known as the Hall of Fame of Faith. Now, I don't know how many of our choir members didn't get it. Anybody need a worksheet? Might be several, some choir members, some orchestra members. I appreciate that, guys, and being right there ready. Hold your hands up until they get to you. They're right coming your way. Hold your hand up, they'll get one to you. Kind of beginning a new series here. I've been thinking about this and thinking about it, praying about it, and I just feel like it's something I want to do. I think it's going to be a blessing to you. I really do. Keep your hands up until you get something there. Running out. Does everybody get one that needs one? How many we have left? Just a couple, right? Tells me for the next week what they have. All right, everybody's got one that wants one. Okay, very good. Hebrews chapter 11. I think this will be a blessing to you. I'm going to read some scripture here. Tonight we're going to have an introduction to some things. It's very simple, and you're going to see an outline come around over and over again in this evening's message. The reason is I want you to get this part settled. As we walk through the life of Abraham, you see a lot of things, but you need to have these couple thoughts settled. And I think a lot of times we kind of get these kind of mixed up in our life, and I think it's going to make a big difference. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1 says, "Now faith is the substance." It's something you can hang on to, and yet it's not tangible. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now, I'm not spending a lot of time on this, but you don't get it because you hope and you hope and you hope and you hope and you hope. We're in a society where it says, well, I should get it because I want it more. You know, that kind of crazy stuff, you know? That's not what he's talking about. This word hope is a confident expectation. I can trust the promises of God even more than knowing that when I wake up tomorrow morning, my wife's going to be there. Now, I mean, if the fact is, you know, something could happen. We're not there tomorrow morning. Things happen humanly. But God, I mean, my wife's not going to walk out of me. I have a confident expectation she's going to be there tomorrow morning. Sorry for her. But anyway, she's going to be here tomorrow morning with me. All right, that's fine. I've got a confident expectation that's going to happen. But even more than that, I know that God's promises are true. Even though we can't see it, even though we can't touch it, it's something that you can hang on to. There's a substance, if you will. It's the evidence of things not seen. I'm not going to lay awake all night and wonder if she's still going to be there tomorrow morning. The evidence of my hope is the fact is I'm going to sleep just fine knowing she's there. My life is going to reflect what I confidently know. A confident expectation. And I'm going to live my life according to that confident expectation. And that the way I live my life is the evidence of something that I can't see. And yet is as real to me as us sitting here this evening. Are you following what I'm saying here? So he says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. God was pleased with them. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." In other words, it didn't come out of the muck and the mire. God spoke and it was by faith. And so we make decisions and live by certain biblical world perspectives, priorities. Why? Because of the faith we have in the creation of the world, how God created it. I mentioned a few weeks ago that there's a local church in here that in this area here that won't put creation, a six-day creation, and God rests on the seventh day in their constitution and bylaws and their statement of faith, because there's not everybody would agree with it. I wonder, how do you base your life on a life of faith if you can't get past the words, "In the beginning, God"? You see, that what you believe, what you have your faith in, is going to determine what you do. There's going to be an evidence of your faith in the way you walk through life. So if that's the case, look at verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained a witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. There's the evidence. Abel obeyed what God told them to do. It's a blood sacrifice. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. The first, when his mom and dad sinned, what did God do? He didn't fry up some potatoes. He killed an animal, and blood was shed, and he covered them in coats of skin. Abel said, "That's the way God wants it. That's what we're going to do." And what he did was evidence of his faith, and that evidence still speaks to us today. That's what he's saying. Look at verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony: he pleased God. The life of Enoch did what God wanted him to do. Now, I don't know what all that has to do, what all the ramifications, what the specifics are, but we do know this, that Enoch pleased God. His life pleased God because his life was based on what he believed God to be. And the way he lived his life was evidence of his faith. Goes on, verse 6, but without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If we believe God, we got to believe that in the beginning God, and that he's a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. Now, if he's a rewarder of them who diligently seek him, what should we do if we believe God? Diligently seek him. Not say, well, maybe so. No, I'm going to hang on. If he's got his promises and the promise is true, then I'm going to hang on until he answers his promise, till I get the promise. That's the evidence of things not seen, but the evidence of my faith. It's action based on a promise or command of God. You're going to hear that a bunch of times before we're done this series. God said it. I believe it, so I'm going to act upon it. Verse 7, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. He never saw rain. They never seen rain. Never seen anything like this before. Moved with fear. What do you mean? He believed God was who he said he was. So because he believed that God was who he said he was, he had a faith in his heart. The evidence is, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. He prepared an ark, and listen, saved his neck and everybody else in his family. By which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. What do you mean he condemned the world? Listen, the fact that he believed in what God had said, he built the ark. Now, we do know that even if he didn't preach, the ark itself was enough of a testimony to say, I believe what God said. This is what's going to happen. You better get yourself ready. For 120 years, he's building this monstrosity of a boat. And they said, what do you need that for? Because it's going to rain. It's going to what? It's going to rain. Doesn't rain. What's rain? Until then, the water came up out of the ground and kind of a mist kept everything going, kind of like it did Garden of Eden. It didn't rain. Didn't need to rain. He said, I don't know. There's going to be enough water all over. We mean enough water around. There's going to be enough water to float this boat. Boy, it's going to be a lot of, that's a pretty big mud puddle. We're going to float that boat. Everybody else is laughing at him, but by faith. The evidence of his faith was he did what God had called him to do. Verse 8, here we are. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance obeyed. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. God was going to, he says, Abraham, would you go to a country that I'll show you? Well, where's it going to be? Well, I'll show you. Well, is it just down around the town? No. Is it 100 miles away? I'm going to show you. Well, what's it like? I'm going to show you. See, too many of us want to walk by faith and get God bless us, bless our lives by faith, and we're too busy trying to get all the details and the itinerary what God's going to do before we're going to step out on faith. We got to start with in the beginning God. He obeyed and he went out. Watch, not knowing whither he went. So what was the evidence? He just went. Where did he go? I don't know. He went. Verse 9. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles or tents, with Isaac and Jacob, and the heirs of him with the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. God says, we're going to take you to a city. Well, where is it? I'll show you. So he gets in, they come out, and Sarah's with him, and they're raising their kids in the middle of the wilderness. You know, listen, by 4 or 5 years, you know what I think a lot of us will do? We go back home. I'm not seeing what I've been looking for. God said go, but I'm not seeing anything. I think we're better. Listen, let's just go back home and we had a nice little vacation. Let's go home and do this right. We don't need to be doing it. Shouldn't be doing this to Sarah anymore. Shouldn't be raising my kids out here in the middle of nowhere. They don't have anything. Let's just go back. Abraham believed God. Because Abraham believed God, he went. And because Abraham believed God, not only did he go, but he sojourned. He stayed there. Out there, who knows where. And that's where he raised his kids. Why? Because he looked for a city whose builder and maker is God. Verse 11. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Now you're going to understand my points here, and we probably won't get first past point number one here, but all the little things here tonight. But some of you know the story of Abraham and Sarah. When the angel shows up at the house and says that, okay, now she's going to go ahead and she's going to have a baby, what does Sarah do? She laughed. What do I want to say here? Through faith, she received strength to conceive. When she passed age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. The fact is, she didn't sound like she judged him too faithful, and she's laughing. I'm going to have a kid. Yeah, boy. But you know what they didn't do? They had not gone back. Listen, now I know her mom was probably dead, but she wasn't going to say, listen, Abraham, I'm not doing this, but I'm going home to mother. Right? I'm done with this. You find some place to settle down and build something that's worth living in, and we can talk. But if you're not willing to do that, you make a choice. It's either your God or me. Huh? But she stayed with him. Even in the midst of the doubt. You ready? Did you hear that? Even in the midst of the doubt, she stayed with him. People say, I can't be a great Christian because I can't build up great faith. God's not talking about great faith. He's talking about a little faith in a great God. Now, if you get the principles of what we have here tonight and next week, this is going to be important to you. It will change your life. Now, watch me. Verse 12. Therefore, sprang there even of one of him as good as dead. In other words, let's get real here. Abraham said, I'm going to be 100 years old. My wife's going to be 90. Now, God, I really appreciate this. And be honest with you, it's been interesting to see what you've done in my life all these years. But let's get real here. We ain't having any kids. Eliezer, he's been working for me for a while. Let's make him my heir, so to speak. You know, he can. He didn't say, Sarah, I'm sorry. We messed up. I've wasted your life. Let's go back to Ur and see. Let's go back there and retire. At least have a few years of good life before we move on. We pass on. He stayed out there in the wilderness, not knowing where God was going to lead him, not ever seeing any light at the end of the tunnel. But there sprang there, verse 12, even of one, of him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky, in multitude, as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. You know why many folks don't ever see God's promises come to fruition? Because they go back home and don't just stick with the promise. The evidence of faith is that you're still doing what God called you to do. You say, well, I've lost faith. Well, no, you didn't have faith. You were making what you thought was a fair gamble. And when it didn't come to fruition, you cut bait, took your losses, and went home. Faith says, God said it, nothing has changed, and so I'm sticking with him. That's evidence of faith. Verse 13, these all died, watch, in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Now, Abraham believed God. He stayed in the wilderness till the day he died because God had promised to make him a great and mighty nation, more than the sand on the sea, more than the stars in the sky. But he never saw it on this side of glory. But if he had not been faithful and stayed there, there would not have been the nation of Israel. Now listen, he's been in glory watching all his kin come home for centuries now. He's sitting in glory reaping the promise of what God had given him. He said, this is my promise. He saw it afar off. He says, you know what? I'm just passing through. This is not my home. Look at verse 14. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. What's he saying? Don't look back. You know, when you start looking back, you might want to go back. But he kept his eyes on the author and finisher of his faith. Listen, if you were here on the, was it Tuesday morning or Tuesday night? Tuesday night, I guess it was. They were talking about both preachers. Well, I wish we could have finished out our conference. They were talking about looking beyond Monday night, looking beyond what we have here. That's what Abraham did. And if we're going to live by faith, we're going to have to live like he did. We're going to have to make our decision based on the promises of God. And the evidence that we really believe it is that our decisions are based on not what we see right now, but what God has promised us. And even if it's something that's going to come on the other side. That's the evidence of our faith. Yeah, we have opportunity to return, but it didn't take it. Was he a mess? Yeah, Abraham was a mess. There were some things he did he shouldn't have done. He wasn't the greatest guy in all the world, but we know he still believed God. Why? Because he didn't go home. He knows where he came from. He could have gone back home. He could have said, let's just blow this whole thing off. We're not doing this at all. But he didn't. He stayed in the wilderness. Verse 16. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. God's not ashamed to be called their God. Why? Because of their faith. They did what God, they acted, they lived upon the promises of God and didn't go back. Abraham was a liar. You know the story of Abraham? We're going to talk about these before we get done. He was a mess. Sometimes a scaredy cat. Sometimes he took, you know, he wasn't, he was actually, I mean, say what it is, he was an adulterer. But why was God not ashamed to call him to say that he was his God? Because he believed him. He was not perfect, but he stayed with him. Was there a promise there? Verse 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. This is the promise. This is why we're out here. We finally get a kid. We're 100 years old. This is the God. This is it has to be the child of promise. I mean, who else is having kids at 100 years old? If nothing else, the lady says, I'm not doing diapers now. If we're not going to do it, I'm not doing them now. And yet, God gave him a son. And he says, listen, here he is. He's just now becoming a man. He says, okay, and I want you to sacrifice him. Oh, my soul. I don't want to start over again. I mean, I talked about Eliezer, but he says, no, that's no good because it'll be somebody out of your own loins. Look at verse 18. Of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. What's he saying? I don't know what God's doing, but I do know God's doing. I mean, he gave me the promised child, like he said. We know that was a miracle. I don't get it. I can't imagine we're going to start over from scratch. I guess if I sacrifice the boy, somehow God's going to bring him back to life. I don't know. But I'm going to give God the benefit of the doubt. I'm not going back home. And I'm not going to withhold. God says, now you have not withheld thy son, thy only begotten son that thou lovest. Now I know that trusteth in me. Now he already knew. But now we all know. That's the scripture. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, for your truth. Lord, speak to us now in these next few moments. I want to transform lives here by your Holy Spirit. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. The Lord has specifically designed his word to teach us truths and principles of life. That's what he's designed. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11 says, now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you but such is common to man, but God is faithful. Hear that. There's no temptation that hath taken you except that which is common among everybody, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape. What is that? To walk by faith according to God's word. You say, well, that's not escape, that's a closed door. No, if God's saying go that way, it may be the Red Sea, but we're going to go right up to the nose and God will open the door when we need it to be opened up. When God says move, you move. Why? Because that's the evidence of our faith. That's the substance of what we hope for. Listen, that's who we are. And so he says, we go. He says, so he makes a way to escape. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, he says, flee from idolatry. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11 through 14. You might want to put that in the margin of your paper there. Flee from idolatry. What's that mean? To trust in anything else to take care of your problems other than God. Idolatry is to trust anything else above God. Anything else above God's word. Anything else above God's power. Well, I don't know if God's going to take care of this. I better do so and so. Idolatry. Well, I better just take care of that. I don't want to bother God with this. Idolatry. Well, it doesn't make any sense. That'll never work. It seems, I know that's what the Bible says, but the Bible must be wrong. Idolatry. Flee from that. Now, certain notables in the Word of God are there to teach us specific things as well reinforce principles of other characters. Moses represents the law and the authority of God. Elijah teaches us that God is the Almighty. Elisha reveals the miracle-working power of God and his willingness to activate it in the context of our own lives. David is a picture of Christ and a man after God's own heart. King Saul is a picture of man who is out for his own sake. Abraham in Genesis, the book of beginnings and the book of first mention, if you will, represents a person who is, watch me, simply a man of faith. He's simply a man of faith. Abraham was anything but perfect. Now remember that. Abraham was anything but perfect, but he did step out in faith. The legacy of Abraham is that Abraham believed God and it was counted for righteousness. In other words, what God wanted Abraham to do to please him was to simply believe in him. What God wanted Abraham to do to please him is to simply believe him. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, folks, says, you know, we want to please God and work up to it and make him be real impressed. Listen, what God really wants, you see, this seems too easy. What he really wants is for you to simply trust him. Because when you simply trust him, it's obvious that you believe in him. You believe in that which you cannot see. Moses saw him who is invisible, and he served him rather than enjoy the seasons of Egypt for a time. He simply walked by faith. Now, God has given us the record of Abraham to teach us what it means to live by faith. Over and over it says in the Bible, the just are to live by faith. You're saved, you're going to live by faith. Now we're going to go back and look at the life of Abraham, but this evening I simply want you to see how God viewed Abraham. Take my word for it. If you do not know the account of Abraham's life, we're going to get there. But Abraham was not guiltless or always righteous. He was a liar at times. He was an adulterer. He didn't even always learn his lesson the first time. You say, well, so that doesn't matter to God? Oh, it does matter to God. That's why there's mercy. He says, listen, God said, he said at the end of Malachi, he says, you know, he says, I change not. He said, the reason you're not consumed is because I don't change, but I'm still merciful. So We should be striving to do everything we can to please God by faith, doing what he asked us to do. But what really truly believes God, what really pleases God is your faith. And your faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. To move to a city whose builder and maker is God, but we cannot see where we're going. Number one in your paper. Didn't think we'd ever get there, did you? I'm sure we won't get to number two. If you get these 3 points tonight, and you're going to write them down a couple times before we're done. That's what I need you to do. Number one. Ready? Number one. Abraham was an ordinary man. Boy, I wish we could understand that. Abraham was an ordinary man, minding his own business, married, got a family there in the land of Ur, the Chaldees. Just an ordinary man. No different. We read it. There's no temptation hath taken you except that which is common to man. He gets up in the morning and goes to work, does what he needs to do, comes home, fights with the wife, you know, the whole thing, just an ordinary man. Wonder if we're going to have enough food to eat the next year, or how's it going to work? And by the way, the longer he followed the Lord in the wilderness, the wealthier he got. We don't get that out there in the middle of the wilderness. I mean, where? How do you have a bit? I don't know, but God blessed him. God, he was so great that he and Lot couldn't stay in the same place. Abraham, what? Abraham was not naturally a great man. In fact, he wasn't a great man. I'll be honest with you, I don't think there are any great men. There are some faithful men. What's God asks us, what's the steward supposed to be? Faithful. Number one, Abraham was an ordinary man, watch, with ordinary faults. Faults. F-A-U-L-T-S. He was a faulty man. Now, don't raise your hand, ladies. How many are married to men who are faulty? Yeah, men. How many are married to ladies who have faults? Abraham had faults. When we get through the process of looking ahead at his life, we're going to see this. And as we do, you've got to remember to put it in perspective. God did not call Abraham great because he was a great man. He called him great because he trusted in God. I can do that. I can do that. You can do that. Well, what does it mean? Faith is the evidence of, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is doing what God told us to do. It's action based on a promise or a command of God. It's saying, I believe Him enough to put myself on the line for this faith, to go out on a limb on what He said and stay there. If that's where God wants me to be. Abraham was an ordinary man with ordinary faults. Number two, Abraham was an ordinary man with ordinary fears. Fears. Oh, he didn't think anything about it when he got ready to move his wife out there and head across. Can you imagine? Little picture I have in the bulletin. You see two people and all they see is sand. Do you realize that Abraham and Sarah didn't jump in the car, and so you know, in about 8 hours, now we're going to be at Roanoke. We'll stop there and have dinner at the Olive Garden. We'll stay at the Comfort Inn, and then next morning we'll move on. Do you realize when they got on the sand, they moved in, they weren't heading to nothing? There was nothing to head to. It's not there. It's a big bunch of dirt. See, faith, he said, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. God says, I'm going to a city that he'll show me when we get there. But I have no idea when we're going to get there. But the evidence of my faith is, I'm going to start walking. Nathan mentioned it here in Sunday school this morning. God doesn't tell us all the story where we're going to end up with at the beginning. We want it all lined out. We want an agenda and say, where am I going to be when I'm 35? Where am I going to be when I'm 55? Where am I going to be? If he did, he'd scare us to death. But you see, if we did, we would take our eyes off of him and we would have our eyes on the next stop. We don't know if that is the next stop. God says, you follow me and I'll tell you when to stop. Simon says, red light, green light, stop. And by faith in God, you know what we do? Stop. And when he says to go, you go. If he says change direction, we change direction. It's following his word. He was a man of ordinary faults. He was a man of ordinary fears. It's scary. Number three, Abraham was an ordinary man, watch, with ordinary failures. You ever play that when you were a kid? Red light, green light. You run down, red light, green light. You try to come to a stop. Didn't stop when I was supposed to. Kind of overran a little bit. Or a mess up. But you know what? When he messed up, Abraham doesn't say, oh, phooey, I'm going back home. You know what he did? He said, well, I'm still out here. Where did we go? I know I ran it there, Lord, but where did we go next? He said, well, it's all right, okay. He didn't throw him out of the game. You understand that? Now, he doesn't want to mess up next time, but God doesn't throw you out of the game when you overstep, you misstep, you cause a failure. Listen, why? Listen, we all have our faults. We all have our fears, and we are all going to fail sometime or another. But God said, listen, not that I like it, but I knew that when I put you, I got a deal in here with you. I knew what I was dealing with when I called you out of the era of the Chaldees. I knew what I was getting. I was getting a regular, ordinary man with regular, ordinary faults and ordinary fears, and I know you're going to have some ordinary failures. Better be. What made Abraham a great man was his willingness, ready, to separate himself unto an extraordinary God. To separate himself unto an extraordinary God. He was an ordinary man. Ordinary faults and fears and failures. But what did he do? Here I am, Lord. I'm yours. And it was unto an extraordinary God. Now watch. We can live a life that pleases God while still being an ordinary person. Aren't you glad for that? There's a lot of folks who don't ever bother to try to live for God because they know they're going to fail. You know what that is? Pride. When Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sins, he paid for all our faults and our fears and our failures. You know what it says in Revelation? But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the whoremongers and the murderers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their place in the lake with burning the fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The fearful. You know what happens when God says go? We say, oh man, we just called God a liar. Or we called him impotent. We called him a failure. We called him something that can't be trusted. That's what we just did. Can you imagine standing up before God face to face at the throne and say, well, Lord, I know that's what you said, but I'm not so sure you know what you're talking about. Off with his head. That's what they would have done over in England. What do you mean? I'm the king. I told you. Off with your head. And yet we will do what we want to do, and whether God says yay or nay, because we wonder if he knows what he's talking about. We live a life that pleases God while still being an ordinary person. That must be true. I think this is on your paper. You got blanks for number 2, 1, 2, 3, 4? Yeah, ready? That must be true because that is what we are, ordinary people. We all naturally have. Fill them in for me. faults. We all naturally have fears, and we all naturally have failures. You see, that's the same words we had before. Yeah, because when we get done here tonight, because you've got to keep these thoughts in your mind. We're talking about living by faith. Because we will throw a life of faith out the window because of some fear or some failure. And we forget that God knew who we were when He saved us. I'm not justifying our fears and our failures. See, old devil comes along and he whispers in your ear, well, there you go, you're a failure. You might as well just go. What do you mean you're going to go to church? What are you going to do? You already failed. You can't start over now. What do you mean you can't? His mercies are new every morning. But I messed up twice already, the same thing. Yeah, Abraham did too. But what pleases God? Let us see. We can live a life that pleases God because we can choose to live a life of faith. We all naturally have faults. We all naturally have fears. We all naturally have failures. But we can all also have an extraordinary God. We can choose to live a life by faith. Hebrews 11:6 is there. I think it's in your paper. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God, cometh to God. Well, I'm going to go to God. Here's how you do it. Must believe that He is. He is all that He says He is. And that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Now, I think I gave it to you this time. Faith overcomes faults. But I've got all these faults. I know. But our faith in God will see us through even amidst of our faults. Faith overcomes our fears. Faith overcomes our failures. In other words, we're not stuck in our faults and our fears and our failures. We're not even necessarily judged because of our faults and our fears and our failures. God sees us through our faith. What pleases Him is our faith, our willingness to move and live our life by what He told us to do, not turning back, even though we may have fears, even though our faults show themselves and we have failures. He says, I know, but don't go back. Stick with me. That pleases God. We learn in God's Word that we can have a life of faith even though we fall short from time to time. Actually, we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, have we not? So why are we going to heaven? Because of our great fierceness or whatever? No, it's because of our faith. There's none righteous, no, not one. Our faith is not going to be perfect. We should have a sincere heart's desire to have a perfect faith toward God, but we are going to fail. And those failures do not disqualify us from returning to the Lord and picking up on our life of faith. Let me say that again. Our failures do not disqualify us to returning to Him. Now, if I fail and I turn back and I don't turn back to Him, I turn away from Him, then I have a failure that I can't get out of. But though I fail, though my faults show themselves, though my fears overcome me, if I will simply go back to Him in faith and start my walk over, He says, fine. There is no way that anyone could say that God chose Abraham because of his perfection. You ever notice in the Bible God shows people all in their warts and all? Every time. Now people will say, well, see, then that's okay. No. God already said it was wrong. There are things these guys do and that's wrong, and yet these people did it, and God still used them. How dare He? What a hypocrite. What a two-face. No. What's He saying? This is what we need to do. But I know you're a mess. But if you by faith pick yourself up, walk with me again, then you're walking with me by faith. And what pleases God? Faith. Faith. There's no way anyone could claim that Abraham was considered righteous because he never doubted, because he did doubt. No one could ever claim that Abraham was kept by God because Abraham was faithful. Abraham was not always faithful. Letter F. Abraham was called of God and protected and blessed by God. Ready for this? Because God is faithful. Now get this point. Abraham was called of God and protected and blessed by God, not because Abraham was faithful. Now, what I'm saying is, he didn't turn back and go back home, but he messed up along the way. He wasn't always faithful to the calling. He kind of messed up, took some side trips. He went down to Egypt a couple times. He was a mess, but yet he stayed there. And what did he trust? What was working on Abraham's life? Abraham counted God faithful. See, God's not waiting for us to be totally faithful to bless us. Because if he does, he's going to wait forever and not going to happen. But God is faithful. Our faith is in his faithfulness. That's what a life of faith is. A life of faith is faith in God's faithfulness. And thus, if it's true, I will step through life based on that fact that God is faithful. And that's the evidence of my faith. If I turn back, you know what I'm saying? I'm not sure God's faithful. And we're going to stop here. You need to come back and hear point number two next week. Oh, this is so good. I love it. I know it's Easter Sunday. But we'll be here. All right? I'm going to encourage you to be here. Faith. Abraham was an ordinary man because he had what? He was ordinary because he had faults and fears and failures. But what made Abraham a great man was that he had faith in what? The faithfulness of God. Grab a hold of this. It'll change your life. Father, we thank you for meeting with us here this evening. Lord, I want to be a blessing to these dear folks. Oh, it's almost too easy. It's almost too easy. But Lord, it's the man who makes religion difficult. Lord, help us to rise up in the arms of faith. To go ahead and just take those steps based on your word, on your promise. Now, Father, I pray that you bless this time. We ask in Christ's name. Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet. We don't have a piano player, do we?